We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life well. Rocket can. Time to do a little overreaction or proper reaction. Hot take, Hickey, take it away.
It's time for overreaction or proper reaction on the Zach Gelb Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
That may be better than the deep voice guy.
Paul Turner?
Yes.
No.
I like that.
I'm sorry.
Like the octave change from low to high.
By the way, have you ever seen what Paul Turner looks like?
I have not.
Jacked.
I would feel like you have to be.
Maybe.
You tall too? I feel like you have to be like brawny to have that deep of voice. You can't be like small like me.
You have to be what?
Like brawn. Like, you know, strength.
Oh, okay.
I think I just, you know, like added a Y there and just kind of, you know, made my own word. But like, gotcha. You know, you got to have like gotta be big, strong, muscular, tough.
I wouldn't say that.
Iron jaw.
He's towering over people. Not a little guy, but he's just ripped. You look at that guy and you say, wow, he's in shape. I saw one photo of him at some WFAN event like years ago. I remember seeing a photo of him when they were celebrating. Maybe it was the 25th or 20th anniversary of the station. But he's been our voiceover guy here at CBS Sports Radio for 10 years. As CBS Sports Radio turns 10 when the new year does start.
Do you recall his jawline? I think you have to have a strong jaw.
Looks like a mannequin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good jawline.
Like, can't be like looking at me having that deep of voice, you know? You have a certain physique.
What's wrong with your jawline?
No. I'm saying looking like me, like smaller stature.
Yeah, you're in shape, though. You're deceivingly in shape.
But not, you have to be.
In terms of muscles, for you.
For a voice that deep and that strong, you have to be also physically strong, I would say.
Why, you don't think you could be a fat slob just with a good voice?
Are there that many people around like that with that deep of a voice?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's also true. We don't know any of the.
Unless I saw a photo of this guy, I have no clue what any of these other voiceover people look like.
Like the EA Sports guy. EA Sports. It's in the game. I'm assuming.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
He probably looks a lot
he's
like.
He's in good shape. I've seen. He's a big dude. A husky dude, but strong.
Like Paul Turner?
Turner's in better shape.
Okay.
That dude may look like he's a few needle steroids, a little bit.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. EA Sports. It's in the game.
Looks like a lumberjack. I can see like lumberjacks having some deep voice, like booming voice, strong voice.
Your brain works in a very weird way.
Just trying to just trying to tell you what I would imagine as a strong guy with a strong voice would sound like.
Compartmentalize is what you were about to say?
No, that didn't make any sense.
Yeah. That's always a word that I try to avoid saying because I just, when I'm going, it's tough to say that word.
When I say compute, not compartmentalize, just for the record.
Okay. You and Mraz hanging out often?
No.
You guys both started to make no sense.
I'll just get back to the script here. On overreaction or proper reaction, Zach. Coming off of last night's dominating win over the Rams, everyone in the NFC West right now is 2-2. Overreaction or proper reaction? The 49ers are the team right now to beat in the NFC West.
Overreaction. I will still give the benefit of the doubt for the entire season to the Rams, even though their offensive line looks like garbage right now. Matthew Stafford's starting to look like Detroit Matthew Stafford again and not LA Matthew Stafford. But there's just too much inconsistency with Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, they have the best defense in the division. That's clear. But in terms of the offense being on par with the defense consistently or being able to hold their own for a little bit. Yeah, this is Jimmy G. Last week stinks. This week was okay. These next two games, you're playing the Panthers and the Falcons. You should win both. And then you go on a really tough stretch the next 5 to 6 games.
4 games into the Steelers season, all Mitch Trubisky at quarterback. The Steelers average 18.5 points per game. That's 24th in the NFL. Now that Kenny Pickett is a starter going forward, Zach, the Steelers' offense will be a top 15 offense in the NFL. Overreaction, proper reaction?
Overreaction. Their line stinks. Najee Harris not 100% healthy. I like Pickens. Claypool's fine. I'm a fan of Deontay Johnson, but a top 15 offense, yeah, I'm not ready to go there, especially with the lack of talent up front at the offensive line position.
Overreaction or proper reaction? Moving forward, the Saints should make Andy Dalton right now the starter.
Overreaction. Why? What upside does Andy Dalton have? I know what you're going to say. What upside does Jameis Winston have? At least we haven't seen Jameis Winston get through a full season yet with the New Orleans Saints. I can't advocate for Andy Dalton to be starting multiple games of the rest of the season and actually then ever talk about the Saints again for the rest of the year when it's October.
The Commanders, overreaction or proper reaction, Zach, should bench Carson Wentz for either Taylor Heinicke or Sam Howell.
Why do you have to ask me that?
Because they're struggling. Oh, there's
you know I can't stand Wentz.
Frustration in running. So is it time
to
make a move?
I can't stand giving him any praise. That guy stinks. But what you have behind him. Ugh. Now, Sam Howell didn't look terrible in the preseason, but that move was so dumb, and Rivera knows it was dumb because he's getting frustrated with the media. He's cursing out of nowhere. Like, Ron Rivera is one of the nicest guys you ever meet. I'm not saying that he can't curse here or there, but he's frustrated because he knows he made a bad call when it was so obvious. It's kind of like a drunk decision that you make, that you would only make it when you're drunk, and then the next day you go, why the heck did I do that? Like, I had a friend, by the way. We were once at a pizza joint. Like, nicest kid that you'll ever meet. Doesn't have, like, a malicious bone in his body. But we had one of these pizza joints in the city. I think it was Joe's. And we had a few drinks. And for some reason, the next day, he goes, yo, I stole the red pepper flakes from Joe's. The big bottle of red pepper flakes. And he goes, I'm so disappointed in myself. I would never do that if I'm sober. That's Ron Rivera. He stole the red pepper flakes when maybe he had a few pops, and he's like, the next day, why the heck did I do that? It was so stupid. Giving up 2 third-round picks where one could become a two and swap, and second-round picks, you get the lesser of the second-round pick, is idiotic. Carson Wentz is not a good quarterback. And it was an unnecessary move, but to go to Heinicke or Howell right now, no, overreaction.
All right, we are all overreaction so far. Let's see if we can get you on a proper reaction. The Giants right now are surprising 3-1 to start the season. Overreaction, Zach, or proper reaction? The Giants will win 8 games this season in year number 1 with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane with a schedule that is easier than maybe most think off the top of the head.
Did you hear what Boomer Esiason of the CBS family said today about the Giants, how many games they would win the rest of the way?
No, is he drinking the Kool-Aid?
If I told you that the answer was Boomer said the Giants would win 6 more games or 2 more games, what do you think is more likely?
I would say he would buy in and say 6 more games.
He said 2 more games.
2?
That's what I read online today.
Wow. 2. So that means 4. 13. He thinks they'll go 2-11 the rest of the way?
If that's what your math is,
yes.
And if that's correct, that fact checks out, then okay. Uh-huh.
Interesting.
The question was 8 games for the Giants?
Yes. Is that an overreaction to say they will go 8-9 this year?
Now, they already have 3 wins.
3-1.
They'll lose to the Packers this weekend. Then they'll lose to the Ravens.
We're searching for 5 here, so we're 0-2. Could we get 5?
Just 5 total.
Five more. Can we get 5?
I would then say they split against the Jaguars and Seahawks.
There's 1.
So there's 1. They beat the Texans. There's 2. They'll beat the Lions. That's 3. Thanksgiving, they'll lose to the Cowboys. Commanders. F it. Why not? There's 4.
4? One more.
Eagles, no. I already gave them 1 against the Commanders split. Kirk Cousins, it's a 1 o'clock game, no. Eagles, no. Oh, wait a second. Oh, wait a second, Jim. Week 17? You know they play week 17?
No. Oh, yes, I do.
You going to that game, buddy?
I might. I don't know.
Give it to me. They'll beat the Colts.
If they beat the Colts, fire Frank right there.
I think it's on the table. I'm not going to say it's definitely going to happen, but I think that's a proper reaction if you're a Giant fan saying that you're going to win 8 games now. I think it's proper. I don't think it's crazy. You're asking for 5 more wins on the schedule. It's October 4th.
Aiden, that'd be a very successful season in year number one the former Buffalo regime for sure here in New York.
You know what? I'm rooting for the Colts now to get hot. And then week 17, Hickey shows up. Let's go, Colts! Let's go, Colts! Let's go, Colts! Yeah! And then you guys just get smacked 45-7, and you get eliminated from the playoffs. I want you to attend your own funeral this year in week 17. All right, anyway, continue.
Thank you. You're always rooting for my...
I'm rooting for them to do well until week 17.
Yeah, and you're the best. Thank you, Zach.
You're one and you're what? One?
1-2-1. The tie's the worst.
Yeah.
Stupid tie. The worst part is actually might help them later in the year, which is even worse.
Oh, yeah. You're delusional that you're still giving this team the benefit of the doubt.
I'm just saying.
What are you, stupid? Seriously.
I'm not giving the benefit of the doubt.
You think they're a good team.
I think they're better. The benefit of the doubt. I think they are better than what they have played so far. They're better than the record says.
Okay. When do you stop that? Because you also told me they were like the greatest team in the world last year and they missed the playoffs.
When do we stop? That's a good question.
You were dumb last year and now you're just being fooled once again.
Well, if it means anything, this year. I think they're going to lose on Thursday. So maybe that helps show you where my brain's at.
Okay. That's a tough game for you, actually.
Yeah, the Broncos. That's a tough game for everyone.
No. Rooting for you.
Oh, stop.
Because you're the biggest Broncos fan in the world. And you're also the biggest Colts fan in the world. It's a tough spot. I don't know where your loyalties lie on that one. Who are you rooting for in that game?
I'm rooting for the team that is named after a horse.
Who's Peyton Manning rooting for in that game? I think Denver.
He
embraces the Broncos more than the Colts.
I didn't think about that aspect.
And that game is in Denver.
Yes.
So when you have Matt Ryan throwing incomplete passes, he's going to be chanting, incomplete. All right, you can continue.
If we see him on the Jumbotron doing that.
He's going to be firing up the crowd. Let's go. Hey, Jim, screw you. You didn't believe in me. Nah. How many more we got here? A
few more. We'll go very quickly. By the way, just to get on the record, Aaron Judge has hit number 62.
Oh, it just happened?
He has done it. Leading off top of the first inning, hit the home run. History's made, finally. No more ESPN cutouts for everyone in America.
There's
everyone...
a fan in College Station right now that's jumping for joy, except you may want to cut out of the Alabama game this weekend.
Well, that is, you know what, you're right. A&M fans are disappointed.
They'll be begging for the judge. Sure.
Quickly, the Chiefs have dropped 41 points on the Bucs. They're averaging 32.3 points per game. That's second overall in the NFL. Last year, they averaged just 28 points per game. So far, without Tyreek Hill, 4 more points per game the first four games of the year. Hot overreaction or proper reaction?
What is it, hot take or burn?
Yeah.
Is that what you do in your show?
No, I don't, but I just had the hot take, I don't know why, in my head.
Yeah.
Overreaction or proper reaction? The Kansas City offense is better this year than last year.
Ooh. I would rather have the players from last year, but that offense struggled. Early on, people were doubting Kansas City. They haven't struggled yet. So, yes, I would rather still have Tyreek Hill and the Chiefs, but that's a proper reaction because they're playing better offensively this year, if that makes sense to you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been unstoppable so far. Overreaction or proper reaction? Bengals, Ravens, both 2-2. Bengals should be the favorite to win the AFC North.
Overreaction. I still don't trust that offensive line right now. I don't trust the Ravens' defense. But that line concerns me, and they got to get going. They spent a lot of money. Burrow's getting hit way too much.
Two more quickly here. Baker Mayfield at some point will be benched this season for the Panthers. Overreaction or proper reaction?
Proper reaction.
Sheesh. Can't argue that one.
Yeah, he stinks.
And finally, somehow, these two teams are the same record, the Seahawks and the Broncos. Overreaction or proper reaction, Zach? The Seahawks will finish with a better record than the Broncos.
I would still say overreaction. And I will tell you, if I could have one thing that I'm rooting for the rest of the year, that's what I want to see. I want to see two things. The Colts start to go on a run, and then Hickey attends his own funeral in week 17 at that Giants game, and the Giants beat them. And then also, I want to see the Seahawks, after all offseason long, Hickey just crushing Pete Carroll. And not only just crushing Pete Carroll, saying the Broncos are going to win it all. Oh, that would be one of the greatest shows that in the history of not only our show, but CBS Sports Radio. If we just get to play all those old hot take, kicky takes. Oh, the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl. Oh, the Broncos are going to be great. And then the Seahawks with Geno Smith ends up being better. That would be fun. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Is Jimbo Fisher on the hot seat? Who's going to be the next head coach at Wisconsin? We discuss with Barrett Salee.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Big weekend of college football upcoming. Another job has opened up in Wisconsin, not only Wisconsin, Colorado as well. So a whole lot to do in the college football landscape. We will chat right now with Barrett Salee from CBS Sports. Barrett, how you been?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I kind of these days, if I'm being honest with you, I have a love-hate relationship with you. I love you for your college football takes, but as a Met fan, I have not muted you, but I really want to mute you for your Mets takes.
Well, maybe they shouldn't collapse. That's not a me problem. That's a Mets problem. You know, I'm just saying, like, it's very easy not to lose a 10.5 game lead in the division. But, you know, apparently the Mets find that more challenging than other teams.
And let me just ask you this. If it was, and I'm not making excuses, my team, they had no pulse, no heart, no fight up against your team in Atlanta, and you guys deserve to win the division. But you're telling me if this game that you were complaining about tonight, which really means nothing, was in Atlanta, and it was 50 degrees, and it was raining, and it was cold, that Barrett Salee would be there?
I have season tickets, so yes. I would love to see my team clinch. Look, the Braves have sold out more than half their games this year. Whether it be summer, winter, spring, whatever, people show up. We all show up. So, absolutely. If there was a chance for the Braves to clinch today, it would be sold out.
Yeah, but there's no chance for the Mets to clinch.
They have to win out.
Say that again?
They have to win out. The fans should be there to support their team. Look, I'm just saying maybe we're a better sports town than y'all. Just saying.
Oh, come on, Atlanta! You don't even believe that. You just probably had to mute your phone. You don't actually believe that. You're laughing in the background. I know that.
Second best attendance in the National League last year, despite the fact they weren't above 500 until August. We actually show up when games matter. I mean, I don't know.
What about when the games don't matter? Do the Braves fans show up?
Oh, absolutely, because there's a lot of good things to do at the Battery and around the stadium. I show up when there's no game sometimes.
Barrett Salee here with us. We will still talk to him because we like his college football takes, even though I've been very, 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 very salty and annoyed with him on social media. And you just have the perfect time tweets, too. It's almost as if, you know, the moment I'm on Twitter, you're like, okay, that's when I got to send the Mets tweet out because Zach's on Twitter following me.
What if I do know?
Well, then I'll be a little bit concerned, honestly. I'm filing a restraining order against you, maybe. All right, so when a coach gets fired, they name an interim coach. A lot of people go, it's his job to lose. But for Jim Leonard, who's had opportunities before and he knows the school better than anyone, is this actually his job to lose at Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think so, and I think that's why they made the move. I don't think there's any secret that maybe Paul Chryst and the new administration at Wisconsin, you know, were kind of at odds. But I think when it became apparent that things were not going to be reconciled, and maybe, I wouldn't even say that this season was lost, just the fact that it had not started out the way it had gone, they felt like it was probably going to be an inevitability anyway that Paul Chryst left, so might as well let Jim Leonard audition. Because I tell you, Jim Leonard's going to get offers. I mean, there is no doubt. If he coached out that season as a coordinator at Wisconsin, he would still get Power 5 offers, multiple Power 5 offers. So why not let him see what he could do at his home at Wisconsin? Since he's been there, he knows the players, all that other stuff. So if there's 100% this is an audition, I think that it's going to be really hard for them not to keep him because I do think they're a pretty good team. And I think that knowing his relationships that he has there in a variety of different ways, unless he completely tanks over the course of the next month and a half, then I would be shocked if he doesn't get that job full time.
Is there a name or two that you would say, okay, maybe they would go elsewhere instead of Jim Leonard, even though we're in the infant stages of this?
I would say that one to keep an eye on is Dave Aranda at Baylor. And I say this because, A, he's been there before as a coordinator, and B, financially, the Big 12 in the future is not going to be anywhere close to what the Big – it's not close to the Big 10 now, but – if you're Wisconsin, knowing how much money you're going to get during the new TV contract, you know you can potentially overpay by today's market value because you're going to be able to afford it in a couple of years. So I think that's the one to keep an eye out. You know, and that's true really of all the Big 12 coaches. You know, Matt Campbell might be another name they look at for that exact reason. Lance Leipold, obviously, you know, same sort of thing. You know, so yeah, I think if there was something, if it's not Jim Leonard, I would look at all of the good to decent Big 12 coaches right now, because that's the conference that has good staffs, but also is at the worst spot financially compared to the Big 12 or Big 10, I should say.
Barrett Salee here with us. Do you have a name or two that you're intrigued by for potentially Nebraska?
Oh, man. I think for Nebraska, I don't know if they're willing to go Troy Calhoun. They should be willing to go toward Calhoun because he runs the new age version of what Nebraska was successful with back in the day. You know, the Air Force is not a triple option team. It is a spread you out, you know, multiple speed option team, which is essentially the new age triple option, right? So if you can incorporate that into what Nebraska already has, the tradition it has, the ability to go get those offensive linemen that are willing to play in those kind of systems, I think it can be successful. But Nebraska is not going to be a signal care about Nebraska. You know, like, we're old guys, right? We remember Nebraska. These kids playing now, these high schoolers, they don't even remember Nebraska as a Big 12 team, much less the Power, right? So you have to be different. You're not going to win these recruiting battles. You're not going to go, you know, be a superpower. You have to be unique. And that's why I think a guy like Troy Calhoun would be a good spot for them.
Barrett Salee here with us. I don't know if this is a curveball because he said that last year was the last time he was going to flirt with the NFL, but I really don't believe him. Could we see Michigan open this offseason?
I think that was it. I think last year was it, right? I think that was Jim Harbaugh trying to strike while the iron's hot, right? They just went to the playoffs. He's obviously, you know, got a little bit of a name brand recognition at the NFL level. I think it was a test to see, okay, how desired am I really at this level? And I think he found out that he was not that desired. I mean, certainly, you know, could have had discussions, whatever, but I think that was it. I think that was sort of the pivot point. Do you go back to the NFL? Pretty stick around Michigan. And I don't think he liked what he heard from the NFL, so he just sent Michigan to the playoffs. You know what? That gives him some credibility there, some equity there, so why not stick around? So, no, I don't think – I used to be all aboard Michigan or Harbaugh leaving Michigan for the NFL. But after all that went down last year, I think that was sort of the it trying to – that was it trying to figure out exactly which way he was going to go with his future. And I think he actually made a wise decision because – obviously, Michigan's playing pretty good football right now.
What is it going to take for Jimbo Fisher to be out after this year at A&M? Because I feel like it's inevitable he'll be back next year. The seat will just be, like, on fire.
5 more years until the buyout drops and they can afford to pay him? He can't be fired. They expected more. Look, I was not on board with the Jimbo hire to begin with. I was sort of the belief that he was a pretty good coach who had a great roster, and he recruited that roster at Florida State and had a generational quarterback. He's too stubborn. His offense is too complicated. His players can't run it, and he's not willing to change it. So I'm with you. I think that you know, next year is going to be interesting, but that would be what, year five, so he would be owed what? I don't know, $32 million. I'm not good at math. I went to Auburn, but you know, so that's still a huge chunk of change. So I think it would be multiple years of what you're seeing now before they get rid of him. And I mean, it's going to happen. I think this is exactly what Texas A&M is. They're an 8-4, 9-3 type team at best every year. But it's going to take a couple more years of it to get rid of him.
Barrett Salih from CBS Sports, wrapping up with him on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Two-part question here. One, will Urban Meyer be back at a sideline next year? And two, will Deion Sanders be at a Power 5 job next season?
With Urban, I think it comes down to this. Are you willing to sell your soul for wins and championships? Because he can do that. Like, he'll get you some wins. He'll get you championships. But he's going to leave your program in a smoldering ash pile when he leaves, right? So is Auburn willing to do that? Maybe. maybe they are. But I think it would take that kind of leap for Urban. As for Deion, yeah, I think he will. I know that he set out on a mission at Jackson State to revitalize HBCUs and all that stuff, and that's awesome. But I also think that he wants to be a head coach at a major level. He wanted Arkansas bad. He wanted Florida State bad. I think he was probably waiting for Florida State to tank this year. It's not happened, obviously. But, yes, I think you see him at a Power 5 job. And, look, I'm in Atlanta. If he goes to Georgia Tech, it would be incredible for all parties. His ties to Atlanta, being in the college football capital of the world, having access to all these players. I mean, yeah, it would be the NIL opportunities, the transfer portal opportunities. It would be awesome. And I think ultimately, Georgia Tech will ask him. I think it's two things with him. One, do you want to take that challenge? And two, do you want to coach against your rival? Or I'm sorry, your alma mater. I don't know if he's wanting to do either one of those things.
Wrap it up with Barrett Salih. Just a few quick hitters before we let you run. What do you think the chances are that Bryce Young plays this weekend? Has there been any intel there, or has it just been, hey, Saban's not telling anyone until kickoff?
Saban's not telling anyone. I would say he probably isn't for two reasons. One, it's not something you want to mess around with, and two, I don't think Nick feels threatened by A&M at all. So if I had to guess, it would be Jalen Milroe.
How much of a believer are you in potentially Oklahoma State making the college football playoff this year?
Ooh, now that they beat Baylor, pretty, pretty high on them. The problem is the Big 12, man, it's just, there are nine teams that can win that conference. It's like, you got to avoid those landmines. Spencer Sanders has been awesome. And Mike Gundy was right. He does not get enough credit. Spencer Sanders does not get enough credit. So, they were literally an inch away from it last year. I could see it happening this year. We would have to swing in their favor. The landscape would have to swing in their favor, but it could happen for sure.
And then finally, in the Pac-12, which has now been a really good conference this year, do you take USC or the field to win the Pac-12 this year?
Oh, USC, 100%. Their defense is horrific, but they force turnovers, right? You're going to give up 500 yards, but you're going to get four turnovers, and you're going to be fine. So winning the Pac-12, the way that team has come together, the way that offense clicks, I would say, yeah, USC over the field. Although, I'm interested to see what happens with UCLA and Utah this week, because that might change my decision depending on which way that one goes.
He's Barrett Salih. Barrett, I would say good luck to your baseball team, but I wouldn't mean it. So just keep on putting out good content on the college football side, and I'll keep on following you. Thank you.
I'm appreciated. I don't think we need luck. We just need skill.
Oh, I would love to see you guys get swept in the NLDS. That would be great. There's Barrett Salih joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I like that guy, but geez, he's an SOB when it comes to his Atlanta Braves.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So last night, a lot of people praising D'Amico Ryans for the job that he has done as the defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. And many people are saying, hey, he'll probably be an NFL head coach next year. Now, if you recall, he was a candidate for the Vikings job. And I thought this was an interesting factoid that they gave on the broadcast last night. And it's nice when you have a really good broadcast crew once again for Monday Night Football, because then you get information like this. And the factoid that they gave last night was that D'Amico Ryans has said that he was actually relieved that he didn't get the Vikings job last year, because he didn't feel like he was ready for it yet. He wanted to go back to San Francisco and then wait another year before probably, paraphrasing a little bit, then probably pounce on another head coaching opportunity. Like, right, when they said on the broadcast last night, I go, interesting. He was interviewing for the job, but he's relieved that he didn't get the job.
That is interesting, especially too when you always see like the old saying, like, you never, I guess, as ready as you always think you are. So like when you get the opportunity, I feel like you can never be like ready enough, right? But now, so far, he's gone back. And like I said, through the first month, doing a tremendous job and only boosting his stock.
I think they used to call him Mufasa, actually. I mean, he was with the Eagles for a year. And I want to say that's, I forget who I was interviewing on the Eagles, but we asked about D'Amico Ryans in a press conference. And then they said, oh, yeah, Mufasa. And I think that was his nickname in the NFL. But he's only 38. And you know age doesn't really matter anymore for a head coach when you look at Sean McVay. I would have no problem. I tweeted this out last night, and I'll say it here. I'd have no problem naming D'Amico Ryans my head coach because he's played in the NFL. He clearly knows how to relate to the men in that locker room. He's always been a leader throughout his NFL career, and he's done a kick-ass job with the 49ers, especially with what they were able to do to the LA Rams last night. I would be very surprised next year. That's the way that I would say it, if someone doesn't hire him. And last year, there was 10 jobs that ended up opening up, and we thought at most maybe 4 or 5. If you look at the potential jobs that will be open this year, probably none in the AFC East, unless things go really south for Robert Saleh, but I would assume that he'll be back for year 3. AFC West, potentially the Chargers, potentially the Broncos. AFC North, no jobs opening up there unless Deshaun Watson turns on Stefanski. AFC South, Colts will be open. I would think the Texans bring back Lovie Smith for year 2. NFC East, you probably think Ron Rivera's back next year.
I would think so.
I would as well. Now, the Cowboys, I would still lean, even though McCarthy's done a good job in the absence of Dak, I would still lean more that McCarthy's out than he is coming back next year. Yourself?
Yes. Yeah, I'd probably say out. Because it's about the playoffs for him. It's not about, you know, winning 10 games.
So that's 4 jobs. NFC West, nothing's opening up in the NFC West. I know where you want to go on this one. You could say it. You could say it.
Unless Pete Carroll retires.
Oh, that's not where I thought you were going. I thought your boy Cliff, who just signed an extension.
Well, I mean, if we go by what the Twitter public is saying, they finished in last place this year.
It's not happening. They just signed an extension. There's no way you're going to fire the guy. NFC North, all those jobs not opening up. NFC South, Carolina probably will be open. Can the Saints go one and done with Dennis Allen? They're 1-3 right now.
And it's not like they hired him in terms of they had a big expansive search that Dennis Allen's our guy. It was after the cycle was over, basically. Sean Payton retired. And it's like, all right, Dennis Allen, we're going to bump him up. So it's not exactly like it was a hand-picked selection.
Do we know what his contract is?
I can look. I've not seen anything.
That was in 2019. I'm just trying to look real quickly. Dennis Allen, contract, head coach. Let's just see if anything pops up. Yeah, I don't see. I don't know what he...
You'd probably assume maybe they don't add any years. Obviously, just give him more money. You think they'd add years?
Oh, I would think so. If I'm Dennis Allen's agent, where else were you going to go there? Yeah, so I don't know what it is. But let's say there's about 5 or 6 jobs opening up. D'Amico Ryans is going to be head coach next year. You would agree with that?
Yes.
Sean Payton is going to be a coach next year somewhere.
Yes.
Eric Bieniemy?
Could be head coach in college.
You don't think he'll be a head coach in the NFL?
For me, that ship has sailed.
I think he's deserving of being a head coach in the NFL.
Agreed.
But since he hasn't got one yet, makes me think that he's not going to get one in the NFL. Dan Quinn, that with the way that defense is playing, did a good job in Atlanta. I know it had an ugly ending. I would think Dan Quinn's getting a job this offseason.
He was a finalist in Denver, right? He finished second to Hackett, I believe.
He was, you know what? I don't know how much of it was the agent just being a really good agent or there actually being legit interest around the NFL. I felt like every job that popped up, it was Dan Quinn, and then he removed himself from taking any jobs. So I'm still trying to decipher how much of that was we actually want Dan Quinn or Dan Quinn's agent massaging the game kind of the right way. But now if you have this great defense in Dallas for 2 years in a row, a really good defense, you would think with that resume, that guy gets another job.
Yes.
I know Barrett Salee poo-pooed this. It wouldn't shock me if Harbaugh. If Harbaugh's in the NFL next year. And I think there's one spot that he could go to. And it would not make you happy.
The Colts?
Mm-hmm. That's a big name for Jim. I'm talking about your owner.
Irsay. Splash move.
It's a big name for him.
Offensive mind. There.
Offensive mind. I could see Jim handing the keys over to Jim. And you're shaking your head. Why would you be annoyed? The guy, hold on. The guy, when he was an NFL head coach, in 4 years, went to 3 NFC title games and was also coaching in a Super Bowl. You wouldn't like that.
No, I'm not shaking my head.
Michigan and you hate Jim Harbaugh because you're a loser Penn State fan.
I am literally not shaking my head in disgust or no. I'm literally shaking my head laughing inside myself right now, thinking of Jim Harbaugh and Jim Irsay giving their press conferences and how out of like left field both are on different ends of the spectrum. Or I'm just like,
Jim Irsay would show up in khaki pants, I bet you.
Oh, you're right. If they make that move, that's a great call. He would show up to the press conference in khaki pants.
Would you be happy? Next year, coaching the Indianapolis Colts, Jim Harbaugh.
Right now, yeah, I think I'd be happy.
That's not really all that convincing. What do you think the likelihood is, though, seriously, of him leaving Michigan?
See, it's weird. I'm actually reversed. I think with the success he's having this year, I think it's harder to leave. I thought they were going to have a down year.
Is it, though, because then still how close are you to Alabama or Georgia? Like, let's just say, I'll even play into your argument here. And I'm more optimistic about Michigan this year than you are. But let's say Michigan runs the table in the regular season, mm-hmm. wins the Big Ten championship, which is on the table.
Yeah.
Their only really tough game here on out is Ohio State. I'm not saying that Penn State's going to be a walkover, but you don't have any opponents that you shouldn't beat until the Ohio State game. I'm not even saying you shouldn't beat Ohio State, but it is truly a flip of the coin.
They'll be a favorite in every game up until then.
Yes, especially with that game being the horseshoe, too.
Right.
So let's say you go undefeated, and then you play either Bama or Georgia in the first round again, and you don't get blown out, but you lose by 2 touchdowns. Does Jim say, I just did something that no one thought I could ever do twice, and no one thought I could do it once. It is my alma mater. Yeah, that buys me another like 3, 4, 5 years, but then if I don't take that next step, it won't be an ugly ending, but there will eventually be an ending. And then does he get those feelings again of, I basically did realistically all I could do at Michigan. And the NFL, I was so close to winning it all, consistently.
I think it's harder to leave because not that it gets easier, but kind of like if you look at Clemson, Clemson was a team that can never win the big game. They finally break through, and all of a sudden, the recruits started coming in, and Dabo Sweeney's job for like 5 years got
easier.
But a
little bit different because I know Michigan was in a bad spot, but turning around Michigan was a lot easier than it was turning around Clemson.
And they both were down for, well, Michigan's also has more history than Clemson.
That's what I'm saying.
But what I'm saying is, like, if you now have 2 years in a row where you win the Big Ten, you beat Ohio State, and you go to the playoff, recruits are going to want to play for you. And now the recruiting pitch gets easier.
Yeah.
You should get more talent. That should help close the gap to Georgia and Alabama. Kind of like, again, like what Clemson was able to do, and they won 2 national titles coming out of almost nowhere in like 5 years. I think you can do the same thing. I feel like it's harder to leave Michigan because you can see that path. Rather than if they went 8-4 this year, that's like, okay, last year's more of a one and done or 1-0.
Is there anyone else that you're buzzing on potentially for an NFL coach next year? We just went through the list. The possibilities of D'Amico Ryans, Jim Harbaugh, Eric Bieniemy, Sean Payton, Dan Quinn. Anyone else that maybe says, that could be one? I have an outside-the-box one.
Ooh, let's hear it.
And it's just the mold, right? Young coordinator benefiting off a successful situation, you get some credit. Would not surprise me if the Eagles continue if Shane Steichen, their offensive coordinator, ends up getting a job.
There's always one or two names, right, that kind of come out of nowhere.
Sirianni.
Brandon Staley, right? It kind of came out of nowhere.
Well, Staley, that year, he started to make a case for himself. I wasn't surprised with what he did it with the Rams that he ended up getting a job. That wasn't surprising to me once he went through that year as the defensive coordinator with the Rams. But there's usually a what the bleep hire, like McDaniel, Sirianni.
Dan Campbell.
Yeah, but more so I'm thinking offensive mold kind of guy more. So I know Campbell is a tight end. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.